Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
Well, this is the last.
Yeah, your back cracked really loud. Yeah, it did. Heard that from all the way over here.
Soft chair.
I went on a walk with Gary the other day and I said, can you hear that? My left knee was just click, 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 click.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't hurt. And I said, that's actually not the leg that gives me problems.
Oh.
The right one's the one that gets, I get a little sore in the hip.
Clicking without pain is good.
It is?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not good, but it just...
It doesn't mean anything?
It doesn't mean anything. Yeah. My left shoulder when I do overhead presses usually
clicks
every time.
It's distracting.
Ooh.
I'm walking.
Okay, ADD, just forget about it.
Gary's like, I can't hear it. I said, okay, I guess if you can't hear it, it's fine.
Yeah.
So that has nothing to do with what we're talking
about
today.
Nothing at all.
Absolutely nothing. We're talking about forgiveness today.
This is going to be an interesting topic.
Do you think so?
Yeah, because I think it's not top of awareness for most people.
Yeah, just, it kind of lurks in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. Forgiveness is a touchy subject for a lot of people.
Yeah, and it requires vulnerability.
A lot of vulnerability.
Yeah.
And for those of us that don't like that, that can be a bit of a pickle. Mm-hmm. I do have a question for you.
Sure.
How do you feel when you see or hear about a sad story or hear about an injustice and the person slighted says they forgive them?
Most of the time I think to myself, sure you do.
Oh, so you don't believe them?
Yes.
See, I find myself really inspired. Because,
oh, really?
And I think it goes along with what you're saying, it's so
unfathomably
hard to do
when
it's something super sad or super traumatic. But let's just assume for a minute that you don't think they're a liar.
Okay.
Doesn't that feel better to you in your spirit and your soul than when the aggrieved party is full of hate and anger?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. And I know myself personally when I... think to myself, I think it's less of a forgiveness and more of a let it go.
Okay. Yeah, that's an interesting distinction.
Yeah.
Is it about forgiveness or is it about just letting it go and not being limited by it?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I hadn't given that much thought, but that's a really interesting distinction. Do you find it hard? So in that vein, do you find it hard to forgive or are you more like, I'll just let it go?
I feel like I'm more of a let it go. It takes a lot of intention out. I naturally lean to let it go. It takes more intentionality for me to work through all the layers that have to come along with forgiving.
So in your household, are you prone to, because I think it feels very intimate when you mess up with somebody in your household and you say, instead of saying, I'm sorry, if you say, do you forgive me? How does that feel?
Like that's never come out of my mouth.
It's really hard to say.
Yeah.
Because it feels very intimate. It feels very vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I think we've desensitized the I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, if I get a little feisty, you and I have a disagreement, I'll call you and I'll be like, I'm sorry, I was a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a lot harder for me to say, I'm sorry, that was wrong. Will you forgive me?
Right.
Why do you think there's such a vulnerability to that?
I don't know. I don't know. Because asking for forgiveness requires something of the other person. Saying, I'm sorry, you are only admitting to yourself that what I know what I did is wrong or doesn't feel right in my body. But
asking for forgiveness sets you up for rejection.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
Asking for forgiveness sets you up for that person to say, I don't forgive you. I'm holding this over your head. Now you've doubled down. You know, now you've shown your,
yes,
your vulnerability and I'm going to, you know. That's what I think it is.
Yeah.
So today we're going to do something different for Boobs in the News.
Okay.
Yeah. So instead of it being a boob, I want to share some amazing stories of forgiveness.
Okay.
These are people where they have every reason
to not forgive.
Mm-hmm. And yet they do.
Okay.
I just thought that would be a nice twist.
Sure.
On today.
A little twist.
Since we're talking about forgiveness. So
yeah.
Yeah. Today we're going to talk about forgiving for your health.
Then we're going to talk about how to forgive.
Yeah, and the difficult task of asking for forgiveness. But first, our first sponsor. Ann's Bra Shop features skilled mastectomy fitters ready to assist you in selecting the perfect breast forms, bras, swimsuits, and camisoles for your post-surgery needs. They have three locations in the St. Louis area, Chesterfield in Wentzville, Missouri, across the river in O'Fallon, Illinois, and a fourth location south on I-55 in Cape Girardeau. Visit Ann's Bra Shop at www.brashop.com to learn more. Okay, we're back. How does unforgiveness impact our emotional and physical well-being?
Ugh, I think it just gets stuck in there.
Yeah, it does.
Resentment, and it harms relationships. So many things.
I mean, it's like the root of all toxicity.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like at the root of all toxic behavior, there's probably some unforgiveness there.
And you know, you've seen those people who you can just tell their relationship's been strained, and it's been strained for years. And when you have the conversation with somebody and then they dig up this thing from 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And as you hear the story, you're thinking, wow, you have been thinking about that for
ruminating. And that rumination just festers and festers and festers.
And it clouds relationships.
Just so much. And it all comes from, again, that lack of vulnerability of having an open discussion or an open conversation about mm-hmm. the hurt. Mm-hmm. So, but it also can, you know, affect your health. So high blood pressure, heart disease, weakened immunity.
Yeah.
Basically, it's because your stress response is on
all the time. Around that person.
Yeah.
And can you imagine if you live with that person?
It's interesting. My mom's a highly sensitive person. And whenever she's around people that cause her a lot of stress.
You can see it.
I can see it.
Yeah.
It's so obvious. Yeah. She acts different. She mm-hmm. seems different. Mm-hmm. She just does things. It's so interesting how you can see people's behavior mm-hmm. and that cortisol, you know, release and how it impacts them.
Yeah.
So it also changes your brain.
Yeah.
No surprise.
If you have that persistent negative emotion towards a feeling or an interaction, that can reduce the functioning of the prefrontal cortex.
How many people do we know that are just wired for negativity?
Yes.
And again,
it's exhausting to be around those people.
It is.
And I called somebody out this weekend because I was like, oh, can you believe this weather? It's 80 degrees. And she's like, Wednesday, it's going to be 90. And I'm like, okay, thank you.
Thank you for,
for bringing me down.
Right. You're right. There's always those people that are constantly drawn to the negative. It's a brain problem.
I love pointing it out to people, though. I'm sure they hate it, but.
I don't know. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I think it helps people stay on the right track.
Yeah.
The constant presence of resentment can make it harder for people to regulate their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are really prone to kind of emotional outbursts, mm-hmm. it's like they haven't figured out how to control those emotions because they don't have any outlet for their stress. If you're mm-hmm. upset with somebody, if somebody's hurt you and you don't have a healthy way to resolve that, mm-hmm. it just, to your point, it builds and it builds and mm-hmm. it builds. And now all of a sudden they're blowing up at things that normally wouldn't even bother them.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that's the whole limbic system, right?
Yep.
It controls our emotions, becomes overactive, makes it difficult to experience positive emotions.
Yep. Yeah.
Which, how sad is that? Your negativity feeds itself, then you don't see the positive in anything. Just like your example mm-hmm. you just gave.
Yeah.
Instead of being focused on, oh my gosh, 80, how awesome.
Yeah. Beautiful
now,
day.
Now it's like, next week's going to suck.
This happens, I'm sure, all the time because you have younger kids when, you know, they're just so, they can be fun at this age and you're walking around. Oh, I can't, this is probably, I would be a millionaire if I had $10 every time somebody said this. I'd be like, oh, this is such a fun age. They're so curious about things. They ask a lot of questions. And then somebody will be like, well, wait till they're a teenager.
Uh-huh.
I will wait till they're a teenager.
Right. I know. Yeah. They're so interested in making sure there's like a negative, right? To the positive.
Just forget the terrible days are coming.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's so true.
Yeah.
Well, before we kind of jump into how to forgive, because I think that's really what people are going to struggle with is how do you let go or how do you forgive? Do you want to do boobs in the news?
Yes.
All right.
Our twisted boobs in the news.
Boobs in the news. Boobs in the news. Boobs in the news.
All right. This is 10 inspiring stories of extreme forgiveness.
Okay.
It says that will lift your spirits, which is how I feel when I hear stories like this.
I love it.
It says, after suffering devastating tragedies, these remarkable people were able to put aside their anger and blame to find mercy in their hearts. This one's called The Unlikely Pardoner. Iranian woman, and I can't pronounce her name, had told the Associated Press that retribution had been her only thought after her teenage son was murdered.
Ugh, I knew there was going to be a murder one.
Cause... Oh, they're all sad and tragic. But in a dramatic turn at the gallows, literally moments before the killer was to be executed, she made a last minute decision to pardon the man. And she's now considered
a hero.
Oh,
that was on her? Oh, okay. So in situations like this, she had the decision to either watch mm-hmm. this person be hanged or to say, no, I forgive you, and mm-hmm. they don't get hanged.
Yeah.
I would 100% do the same thing. You. I couldn't have it on my conscience, even if I was so hurt that I lost somebody I loved. I could not have it on my conscience for somebody else to be.
I couldn't either. My family and I often have this whole argument about the death penalty. Mm-hmm. You know, if something happened and mm-hmm. that person was on the death penalty, could you flip the switch? Mm-hmm. The younger Beth would have been like, oh, yeah, let the guy fry.
Yeah.
But as I've gotten older,
let the guy fry.
You know what I mean? I could not do it. But I also think that there's something about empowerment of taking that tragedy back, right?
Yes.
By her making this decision, it was her decision.
Yeah.
She had his life in her hands.
Yeah.
And she could either cave and be just like him.
Yeah.
Or she could take the other road.
Yeah. And regardless of the character of the person who wronged you in this way, or what kind of danger they are to society, or just being a burden on the prison system or whatever, I think it would still be so much heavier to hold something that a person's life that fell completely on my shoulders than to.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah.
I think if you really want somebody to feel punished, have them live with the fact that they did it. So here's another one. The understanding widower. After a long shift at the fire department.
Oh.
I know. Firefighter fell asleep while driving, crashed into another vehicle, taking the life of a pregnant mother and injuring her 19-month-old daughter. The husband of the woman killed was a full-time pastor and asked for the man's diminished sentence and began meeting with him for coffee and conversation. Many years later, the two remained close. And the pastor said, you forgive as you've been forgiven. Now, in this story, like I got goosebumps.
Chills.
I know.
Oh.
I know. But I think what's interesting in this is this man was not drunk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He fell asleep, which I think could happen to anybody.
Anyone. Yeah.
So part of me immediately was thinking, gosh, should he even be charged when it was just an accidental thing? But then can you imagine he has to live with that guilt that he did this
forever,
and what probably did for his soul to have this woman's husband forgive him and then also kind of pastor him afterward. I mean, that's what I'm saying. When people forgive,
that is humanity at its
best,
finest.
And you have an opportunity to be an example to other people. We get that a lot from breast cancer patients that try to navigate treatment with a positive attitude and just, you know, you can't negate your own feelings. You have to own how you feel. But I'm always impressed when somebody's like, and I felt this way. It's like, I'm going to show my kids what it looks like to ride out a storm because they're going to come.
Yeah.
And it inspires people. It takes humanity to this new level. And I think you and I both agree we need it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. This one's interesting. The unexpected caregiver. This woman was a victim of domestic violence from her mother.
Okay.
So she never thought she would reconnect with her mother, who was her abuser during her adult life. However, in 2010, her mother suffered several strokes that left her unable to communicate or take care of herself. With no one else to help her, her daughter began to sit by her mother's bedside and read to her. She said through this activity, the hate that she had for her mother dissipated into forgiveness and love.
Oh.
I think that's really...
That is sweet.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This isn't the same thing at all because it's not about forgiveness. But I have a friend who, when her mom got really old and frail, she became her caregiver and she dreaded bath time. Just because, you know, you don't ever want to have to bathe your mother, you know? It's just like, gosh. And so she used to dread it. And she started to pray about it. Uh-huh. Like, I don't want this to be something that I dread doing. Will you help me? And she tells this story about how God, over time, with her bathing her mother, changed her heart, and it became their most treasured time together.
Huh.
And so when her mother passed, it was like a really beautiful time in their relationship when she got to bathe her mother. And I just think, you know, it's so interesting about your mindset and how you can get to a different place, but it's so hard.
It is, yeah.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are your non-boobs in the news, the people that we should all aspire to.
Yeah.
Bibs in the news, bibs in the news, bibs in the news.
All right, so let's talk about how to forgive.
Yes.
Gosh, don't you think it's so hard for people?
Yeah. Well, and I was actually just thinking within all of that and the story that you just told about how over time she prayed for a different mindset and how it turned into something beautiful is that it's not, it can't be a one decision, flip the switch. Now I've forgiven you and everything is fine. Mm-hmm. It really has, I'm sure. And even with the pastor, it probably was really hard for him to go to coffee with the guy who killed his wife and his unborn child. And then, but eventually it turned into something beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is not something where, I mean, we're going to talk about forgiveness as a choice. Mm-hmm. It is. It's a choice. That's kind of what you said, right? I'm going to choose to let this go mm-hmm. and not have it hinder me. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you're good at that, letting things go?
No.
Yeah, really? No. Oh, well, that surprises me.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that I've ever really considered it. I should probably sit, you know, consider that.
I'm good at letting things go with people I don't care about that much.
I think it's a two-way street. I'm good at letting some things go if there's just a little bit of reciprocations. You know, like there has to be, if the other person digs in deeper, then it's harder for me to, or pulls away or find something about it. Then I don't think that I dig in deeper with, oh no, I really don't forgive you and I can't let it go. I don't like unfinished communication, you know. Does that make sense?
So you're saying it's easier for you to let it go when they also want to let it go?
No, they don't have to also want to let it go, but just being able to have conversation. I think maybe I'm thinking about this with my children, but also with people in the family. Sometimes the pattern in our family is to just not talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that's how it was in the past. And to just forget about it. Like mm-hmm. this thing happened. I'm not going to circle back with you, but I'm not going to talk about it ever again. Mm-hmm. So it's still there and it feels very unfinished. And so even if I think to myself, this is sort of ruining my vibe and my insides and my emotions, I'm just going to let it go. It's hard to when it just feels like a cloud hanging there because there's so much unsaid.
Well, and this happens a lot where you might think, okay, I need to resolve this for me, right? I need to at least say.
And the other person does not.
And they don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Because it's either too painful for them to hear and mm-hmm. they're in denial about the impact they had on you and they're too immature to own up to it.
Yeah.
Or I think that's really hard.
Yeah.
You know, people ask all the time, how do I forgive somebody who's not sorry?
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think first and foremost, you have to recognize the humanity in yourself and others. Like we're all imperfect. Yeah. We're all going to need forgiveness from somebody at some time. And it's a shared experience, right? And mm-hmm. so it doesn't define your worth if you've made a mistake or you've been aggrieved by somebody else. This is not, I think a lot of people are so sensitive because they think, you know, a disagreement is not just about the disagreement. It's about who they are as people.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, I could see that.
It gets thrown out of context. Yeah. Instead of it just being an offhanded comment.
This was one moment, not who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's their own insecurity talking.
Yeah.
Because instead of it just being like something really stupid, you know, thoughtless, mm-hmm. it's now the other person's internalizing it as you just attacked my entire person.
Yeah.
And that also is something that I think people need to really think through is this, and there are those relationships where the person is attacking you as a person
mm-hmm.
and you need to start thinking about some serious boundaries,
yes.
which we're going to get to. Yeah. But then the other side of it is, am I making this into something it doesn't need to be?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, which is what a lot of family members think, you should just let it go.
Yeah. And I also think there's a lot of instances, this happens a lot to me, where I just put little things down. Oh, it's not a big deal. Let it go. And then eventually something also little happens again. And it's just the last straw. The last straw. And then whoever that came from gets to be the one to just
take the brunt of it.
And
I think that's true. I mean, we're going to talk about boundaries because I think that's important. I think, okay, after we recognize that we're all human and we're all going to mm-hmm. make mistakes, we need to acknowledge our feelings. We've talked about this so many times. You cannot heal if you do not feel.
Yeah.
So it's okay to say that person hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Even though you feel silly about it, you can still say it because just saying that is going to allow you to process it and move on.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is a choice, mm-hmm. but it's not about forgetting or excusing the behavior.
Right.
I think that's really important to say. People think that by forgiving, you're saying that what they did was okay.
No, mm-hmm. no. Yeah. Not one and the same.
No. You need to focus on yourself. How many people do we know where it's all about the other person and what they've done to them and how horrible they are, and they don't want to take any accountability for their part in the issue?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there is no part. Sometimes you've just been truly wronged. Unfairly wronged.
Yeah.
But I think you need to focus always on yourself.
Yeah.
But you're also your health, like your well-being.
Yeah.
What do I need, you know, now that this has happened? Okay. So this is where I'm going to get on my soapbox about setting boundaries. So forgiveness, so many people struggle with this, does not necessarily mean you need to continue the relationship.
Yeah.
Does everybody understand that? That it's okay to set boundaries to protect yourself? I think so many people think forgiveness means I have to keep that person in my life.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
Yeah.
You can forgive somebody and recognize that it's not a good situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know this about me, Sarah. I have very little tolerance for chaos. I just cannot.
I think we've now said it three podcasts in a row.
I don't like drama. I don't like chaos. And I don't like making something into something it doesn't need to be. It just exhausts me.
Yeah.
And so to your point, I will tolerate it for a little bit. But when I start to feel like
you're having the same conversation,
this is just a pattern that I want to remove, extricate myself from, I will.
Yeah.
I will just, it doesn't mean I don't love you. It doesn't mean that I don't care about you. It doesn't mean that I don't forgive you or ask for forgiveness. It just means that I don't have the emotional bandwidth to deal with your stuff.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Seeking support. I think this is where we're always going to push therapist or counselor or friend. Mm-hmm. Friends are tricky because you don't want to keep talking about the same thing over and over again.
Well, that and I think anybody with just family members and friends, they are always going to have your perspective and they're always going to take your side. And and sometimes it's having that therapist or, you know, I don't know. This is where I think sometimes I feel like I have a trusted person written on my face and people will tell me stories. I'm like, I don't know you that well. And I am getting a story that I should probably not get. But when you do that, you get a perspective because I don't know that person they're talking about.
Yeah.
And you can get a different perspective on, oh, no, you are being the crazy one. Or
will you tell
this
somebody that, though? Will you tell somebody 100%. They're okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So will I.
Yeah.
I'll be like, from the outside looking in, it sounds like you have some unresolved stuff going on, and I don't know that you needed to react that way.
Right. Yeah.
My mom, this is so funny, but when I was dating my husband, I mean, I was 17, you know, 17, mm-hmm. he was 19. And so, you know, as you do when you're a teenager, so we would have fights. And it was so funny because I'd come to my mom expecting her to just take my side and be like, yeah, you know,
rude.
Shame on him. And she'd always say, I feel like this is a you problem. And she always took his side. And it was so funny, but it really brought me back down to earth and made me realize that I was the problem.
Yeah.
Which was great. I really appreciated it.
Well, it's probably why you and your mom are so close. She's just a trusted.
And she's not judging me about it. Yeah. She's just like, you know how when you get backed into a corner, you tend to kind of get a little feisty? She's like, that's one of those moments, you know? And so it was just funny
feisty,
to have
that
her.
That is a good word for you.
Okay. Practicing compassion. We talked about this a little bit, about the vulnerability that it takes to tell somebody that you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all you need to do is think about yourself going to somebody and asking for forgiveness for you to get that feeling in your stomach like, I want to puke.
Yeah.
Right? It's the fear of rejection. It's shame. It's the discomfort.
Yeah.
It's pride and ego.
Yep.
It's overwhelming guilt or feeling paralyzed. Some people have made decisions that have really impacted their kids, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And if their children come to them and say, this is how you impacted me, it can be so devastating to hear as a parent that instead of acknowledging it and validating it, they dismiss it. And that is super hurtful.
Yeah,
I can't tell you how many people I've talked to about this where that's been their experience.
Mm-hmm.
And they get angry and they get resentful, but they don't think about, I know I think about how I'm going to feel when my children come to me and say, you did irreparable harm when you did this.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear that. It's so difficult.
But you know, this is where this is an opportunity comes into play.
Grow.
Is that if you don't have the kind of relationship where somebody feels safe enough to come say those things to you, you'll never know and you'll do it again.
You'll do it again and you won't know and you'll continue that chaos cycle, right?
Yeah.
What I've noticed with people like that is that they grew up in chaos. Their pattern, their family history is chaos. That's all they know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll just keep the chaos circle going, which is why that's why I take myself out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't know, they won't grow. But also, that's the thing. You're not going to grow as a person. You're not going to have, but most importantly, you're not going to have a true intimate relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
You cannot be truly close to somebody if you can't acknowledge hurts and ask for forgiveness and really like be vulnerable with one another.
Yeah.
And that might be okay. Some people really like having superficial relationships. They don't need to go deeper.
Yeah.
But if you're lacking intimacy, and we have a lot of people where they're like, I wish I was closer to my brother, or I wish I was closer to my cousin, or I wish I was closer to this person. Like, we used to be so close. Mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, I can point to the fact that you're not being real with each other.
Yeah.
Somehow you've kind of let that superficial.
Sometimes you just need to learn the language of what to say, because I know my brother will bring stuff up, but his approach can sometimes be a little bit abrasive. And I think he even knows that, because he said that. So I don't feel like I'm outing him or anything. But I think once you practice a couple of phrases, sometimes it just starts to become a little bit easier.
So like, what are some of those phrases?
I'm thinking about our friend Jamie, who I had on a couple of podcasts ago, and she'll be the person to say, like, you can always say, you know, an ouch statement, or when you did blank, I felt this. And I think,
because it's not about blame. It's you're literally saying, when you did this, this is how it made me feel.
Right. And that person might be blind to the fact that they did that. Mm-hmm. And just even bringing it up, or just saying, hey, you said this to me the other day. Can you tell me what that means? Because you might have just taken it out of context. Mm-hmm. And before you spiral into this, oh, they don't like me, and they, you know, you sometimes just getting clarity around what they said doesn't even require you to go down the forgiveness route.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, no, I said that because I really liked the way you looked that day, or, you know,
whatever. I've done that before. I, you know, after I say something and I hear how it sounds, I have to go back and be like, just so you know how that was intended. I heard it as soon as it came out of my mouth, and it did not sound that way in my brain. So I just wanted to say that. I've had people be like, I'm so glad you said something. I wasn't going to say anything, but it kind of hurt my feelings. And then I'm thinking, thank goodness I said that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I really think that you have to start practicing compassion and think about how difficult it is for some people, especially given their emotional baggage.
Yeah.
How difficult it is for them to really, truly admit fault.
Yeah. And once you start doing it a couple times, then they'll all of a sudden now be a lot more open and free to do the same back to you.
I can tell you, my kids act totally different when they tick each other off. And I suggest that they ask for forgiveness versus saying an inauthentic, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's an odd moment to watch because they're very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But they feel good when they do it.
Yeah. Well, that's a good rule. I need to implement
when
that.
You do something wrong to each other, you don't say, I'm sorry. You ask for forgiveness. Oh. And it is a game changer. It changes the whole mood of the conversation.
Yeah.
The last time Bennett,
do you tell your kids when the other retorts back with that, I don't forgive you?
Well, it's very hard for people to say, I don't forgive you.
Oh.
That's the thing. It's different than an I'm sorry. I think it's very difficult because now you've changed the power dynamic where that person's being petty.
Yeah.
And they're being rude. Uh-huh. And now you've kind of, I think it's happened once, but I said, listen, you did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to them whether or not they want to accept your apology. And I actually think in that circumstance, they came back later because they felt guilt.
Because the other person retorted back with the, I'm not forgiving
you.
Yeah,
well, I don't forgive you. You do this all the time. And then I said, well, you know, they apologized. They asked for forgiveness. It's up to you if you want to withhold it from them.
Huh.
And then later they came back and they were like, I'm sorry, I do forgive you.
Wow. Okay.
It's an interesting, I mean,
we just turned this into a parenting podcast.
It's with all relationships.
Yeah.
It's really difficult. People feel very uncomfortable. Like if somebody comes to me and says, do you forgive me? I mean, I feel compelled to forgive them. It almost feels like I have to release the burden.
But this is a people pleaser moment. You don't necessarily have to unless you've, you know, maybe I need to pray on that or I need to think about that.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to feel like you can. If you don't feel, I mean, that opens up a whole nother can of worms. Well, I don't want to forgive them because I don't think they're really sorry. Or I don't want to forgive them because they've just done this too many times.
Yeah.
I don't want to. And think about that. That's a power thing.
Yeah.
You feel so sad and upset by what they have or haven't done that now you are trying to hold this power over them.
Yeah.
Because that's what makes you feel a little less vulnerable to how they've hurt you.
Yeah.
And that's, you have to really understand your motivation for withholding that forgiveness.
Huh.
Yeah. It's super interesting.
Very.
All right, well, before we kind of close up this episode, let's hear from our second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314 783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors.
All right, and we're back. So can we agree that asking for forgiveness requires, granting and asking.
Yes.
Requires a lot of courage, humility, vulnerability.
Yeah. What I think, you know what I find interesting, and we didn't really mention this at all, is when we interviewed Chris Beat Cancer, and I think if you just consume any of his content also, he talks a lot about forgiveness.
He was on his, a bender with
big,
that.
He's a big one on forgiveness and just how much it can just impact your health and your psyche and everything, relationships. So
I mean, every person that I know who in my mind has some really unhealthy long-term behaviors, it's rooted in an inability to forgive.
Yeah.
And we just don't want that for you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had to work through our own stuff. Everybody has issues. Yeah. Everybody has resentments and grudges and all of that. And so if you don't know how to forgive, but you want to, start asking other people for help.
Yeah.
Because it's out there.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be a friend or a pastor or, you know, a therapist, there are people out there that can help you figure out how to set boundaries, how to let go for your own well-being.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Think about it as a well-being practice.
There you go.
Yeah.
Until next time.
See ya.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmes, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.